This is the Amateur Fanboy Podcast with your hosts, Chase Aguirre and Mike Artaza.
Our guest today, Chris Manning, also known as LD2K on Twitter. He works over at NBA 2K. He's the host of NBA 2K TV. Chris, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing all right, man. Just hanging in there, just trying to live life. Let's start. Let's see. Where should we start? You're known as the godfather of Laker hype videos. Yes. And I got to say, all those videos back in 2009-10 during the Lakers' couple championship runs got me super excited every time I watched them. Were my favorite thing. Look forward to them every single time they came out. But I want to ask you, how did you exactly get into what you are doing right now? Like, how did you get your start?
Yeah, so when I was actually in, I want to say middle school, I was writing, or I wanted to write, and I wanted to be a journalist. So I wanted to cover sports and basketball specifically. I always enjoyed storytelling, so I tried to come in, you know, at 12 years old and get a job at the local newspaper and cover sports teams. And I got to kind of shadow some of the sports writers that were there. And obviously, you're not going to hire a 12-year-old to write full-on articles, but I got to learn a lot about journalism and kind of covering sports in that aspect. And then when I was 13, got in junior high, and I really got my hands on a video editing software. So I took a video editing class at the time they had it. Unfortunately, they don't in a lot of schools anymore, which is kind of sad, but was able to get my hands on video editing, and I just really wanted to put together a Laker video. I think it was his name was Lake Show 9, and I had always watched his videos online. And this is before the days of YouTube, so a lot of videos were kind of hidden and not as accessible as they are today. But I was like, man, I could do that, and I feel like I could do that even better, you know. And so I pulled out the old tape of Lakers Blazers 2000, the 15-point comeback, the game that I was at, and that memory will always hold a special place in my heart because of the energy that was in Staples Center that night, like the Lion's Den. The old school Laker fans know what the Lion's Den was.
Yes, sir.
I still have that shirt, actually, that I Love LA shirt with the KCal 9 on the back. Like that's like history to me. So I still have that to this day, which is pretty cool. But I took that game and took that energy and everything I felt in that arena for that split second of the Kobe to the Shaq lob and kind of harnessing that energy. It was always like, how can I let people feel the same emotions that I felt in that moment through storytelling or a video? And that's really kind of what my goal was, to create things that could have people feel that emotion that I got to feel as a fan and that special kind of energy. So that's really how I got started. And then once I found video editing, you know, it was like bye-bye journalism. You know, I found it far superior in terms of storytelling to me and what I can convey through video. And really just started down that path, and I really never looked back, even to this day. And I'm in my 30s now. I thought I'd always like maybe stop doing videos when Kobe retired, but there's just still that energy and that spark, even with how involved I am professionally around basketball and the game and the NBA and stuff. I always come back to videos because it's just that core passion that I have, and there's always a special place about being a fan to me. So sharing that with the world and Lakers fans has been really special and been one hell of a ride over the years.
That's awesome, man. You've been doing it all. You've been doing it for a while. It's impressive to watch, and it's been nice to see you over the years and how you've grown and how you've just kept getting better. And when you think you can't hit another peak, you seem to just hit that extra peak, and it's awesome to see.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And you know, I think it's just one of those things now. I've done so many videos over my life. And, you know, now even just working in front of a camera, it's always fun to like work with our editors at 2K TV and, you know, figure out little challenges and solutions to little things when you're putting together programming. We have such a great team, and it's fun to even share it with professional editors and kind of showcase some of the stuff that I've done with them. And even to this day, I still love learning about it. Like I sit down with our editors all the time, and some of them use different programs. So I'm so like I just love little details like that. So I'll sit down and say, okay, you like using, you know, Premiere, you like using Avid, you like using Final Cut. Like, I love just picking people's brains on video editing, even to this day. So, you know, honestly, I don't know when I'll stop, but I always do it when I feel, you know, that connection or that passion. So I appreciate you saying that.
Hey, coming from a diehard Lakers fan, I enjoy those videos, and I hope you never stop, man, because they're timeless. Thanks, they're timeless. So what's going on with this NBA 2K League? I looked at the watched the video the other day of the draft and how everything went into it. Could you like elaborate more and maybe explain what's going on there and like what the whole, what your guys' goal with that is?
Yeah, for sure. So the NBA has the NBA 2K League, and it's basically a professional league of esports gamers that have made it to the pros, and there's a whole combine process for them to you know, put in their work, put in their games, and then they have scouts from actual NBA teams looking at these players. And once you qualify for the league draft, there's a draft that's held annually. And I wasn't a part of it in year one because I had left 2K the prior year. So I was there for 7 years on the marketing side. I'd left for a year, then most recently came back this year for 2K TV. And now I'm working on the development side, which is pretty cool. But the 2K League is pretty special. You have actual NBA teams that are involved, and they're looking to expand that to get every team involved. And so basically they have scouts, they have staffs, they're scouting players. They're signing these players. So they come and live in the cities, and they, you know, have camaraderie with their teammates, who often live in the same kind of housing, setups, practicing 2K 8 hours a day, sometimes more. And, yeah, these guys are making a lot of money, playing NBA 2K, and there's major tournaments through the year, which is really exciting. And we're covering all that on NBA 2K TV, as well. And then, you know, last year the Knicks were the champions. So, it was really cool to kind of see the evolution of where tournaments were with NBA 2K. And it's something that I had a hand in personally, cause I always love competition. Like, I'm hyper competitive. People don't know that about me, but I'm extremely hyper competitive. I'm a Kobe fan. So it kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, that kind of level of competition was always intriguing to me. So, and, you know, there's a lot of people, you think about the small percentage of people that would never be able to make it to something like the NBA, right? It's like less than 1% of people that play basketball make it to the NBA. So when you start thinking in terms of everybody that's ever picked up a hoop, it's great that now there's another career path for players or aspiring players. Or not, you know, maybe you don't have the athletic prowess, but you have the coordination, you have the, you know, the intelligence and the wit to play this game at a very high level. And, you know, it could be a career path, and it doesn't matter if you're a male or female. We just saw our first female get drafted into the NBA 2K League, which was really exciting. She got drafted by Warriors Gaming. So they're expanding and being very inclusive. And, you know, it's really just the start of something special. And, you know, sometimes I look at the players and watch the tournaments and just being around it, and I'm like, man, I'm just such a fan of everything. You know, it's like, man, maybe I should change my career path and go help Lakers Gaming. They're like 1-8 right now, you know.
Right.
So it's been so special to kind of watch grow and watch some of these players evolve and just watch the teams do their thing with actual players playing the game. It's just, it's really surreal and cool thing. And in sports, and you know, with the growth of esports turning into a billion-dollar industry and all that stuff, I think the other cool thing about what 2K can offer is the NBA 2K League. You know, well, I'm hoping it'll get to a point where they can actually face scan all the players that they have. So instead of you taking the role of like a character or, you know, a different avatar, you'll actually be able to be yourself, get scanned into the game and play right as yourself. So there's kind of a special connection there, I think, from the real world to the digital avatars and all that good stuff that's coming down the line. So it's been really cool to watch, and it's really exciting. And if people are interested, they can check out the NBA 2K League on YouTube and Twitch. And also 2K TV covers all the major tournaments that they have through the year, and we'll be at the finals this year as well. And we have special coverage, in-depth coverage, if you want to check out kind of the sights and sounds of the 2K League. So it's a lot of fun, and it's really cool to kind of sit back and watch it all grow.
That's awesome, man. That sounds incredible. That it's amazing where technology and everything has come to the point where now people can basically make a living off playing video games. It's
wild.
It's awesome. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. So I got to ask you, What else do you do over at NBA 2K? Do you just do the NBA 2K TV, or do you also, like, you know, are you involved in development of the video game itself?
Yeah. So, you know, like I mentioned before, prior in my first run, I was the community manager on the game. So working a lot in social media and working on social media strategies, and then just building the brand up. So I joined back in 2K11 when Jordan was on the cover, and that was the first game I got to work on from a marketing standpoint. And I always had a really great relationship with the developers, because when you work in community, I always tried to do kind of what I do with the Laker fans, is like really build a connection and the day that I stopped feeling the passion is the day that I'll stop doing this kind of stuff, you know? So when I was there, I really tried to build a connection with our developers and help promote what they're doing. Cause sometimes I think in the video game industry, just generally, the developers sometimes don't get the best chance to say everything they want to say or interact the ways that sometimes studios want to interact, cause they're so busy building a game. So some of the best companies are ones that have like transparency and have people that are talking to the community and interacting with the community and building stuff. And as the games continue to evolve, it was really cool to come back in a new role. Cause like I said, last time I was on the marketing side, this time I'm directly on the development side. So I am able to talk to producers and get feedback directly into, you know, the lead producer's hands. And we have great conversations about what the community's talking about. And then the other really cool thing with 2K TV is, not only are we doing a weekly episodic show, which is crazy, but we actually have polling in the show. So we can take all those mass numbers that are tuning into the show on a weekly basis and poll and take that data and then compare that to maybe like what Twitter opinions are, what YouTubers are saying, what Twitch streamers want. And, you know, we have so many producers watching different avenues for maybe stuff they work on. So you have Park guys looking at Park. You have My Career guys looking at My Career. You have Gameplay guys looking at Gameplay. And the cool thing about this is that we have like substantial data now directly from the fans via 2KTV, and a lot of people are voting on this thing. And it's really cool to kind of use some of that data and kind of evaluate it. And sometimes it clashes with what like people on Twitter want, you know, or what, you know, people on YouTube are saying. So it's great to just have another avenue of feedback that's so direct and it's so easy to grab for us on the development side to kind of implement into the future of what we're doing. So it's kind of exciting from that aspect too.
Man, that all sounds amazing. It really is. I know I just said it, but it really is amazing what we're able to do and what you're able to do as far as video games go and as far as being able to, you know, get people's ideas and feedback and then imply that and add it to what you already got going on and make it 10 times better. And that's just awesome.
Yeah. And we have such a great development team. Like I've said it since day one to push out what they do on an annual basis. It's a brand that likes to take, you know, a lot of, I don't want to say risks, but it likes to take innovative leaps sometimes. Right.
Of course.
And when you do things like that, people like a lot of things, but sometimes, you know, okay, we were looking for this. Maybe we want to correct that, right? So it's great to get that feedback, like I said, directly. And they've put me in a great position to come over to the development side and kind of continue to listen to the fans. And we're celebrating the community on the show. We're bringing on a lot of community members. Sometimes it's about the 2K League and the hyper esports side of it. Sometimes it's just people playing My Career and having fun with the game. You know, sometimes that gets lost in translation. It's not all hyper competitive. People just want to come home and put up their feet and play a game of 2K and do some really cool things. And the game's so deep that there's so much to gather in terms of feedback and looking at what people like and what people are wanting to see improve that it can be daunting at times. So it's been really great to kind of come back and be able to work directly with the development team and kind of go from there into, you know, NBA 2K20 and beyond. It's really exciting for me personally because I'm still just the biggest fan of the brand. Obviously, I've grown up playing every single game. It's the only place you can play is Kobe. So, you know, load up NBA 2K. We got all the classic Kobes. So it's just been a really cool ride for me, a really cool journey.
That's awesome, man. I'm so happy for everything that you've accomplished, and it's awesome to see. As a Laker fan, it's awesome to see you be able to do what you love for a living.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
So the other day, I saw something and it blew up on Twitter about Kyrie Irving was apparently on his gamer tag, and whether it was true or not, I have no idea, but he was wearing a Lakers jersey on his avatar. And I got to ask, like, did you see it? Like, what are your thoughts on it? Like, does it mean anything? Like, is it just, you know, people overreacting to nothing?
Yeah, so this was a really hot topic when it happened. Unfortunately, that wasn't Kyrie Irving.
Of course it wasn't.
So, I was hoping it was, you know.
Of course, I was hoping it was.
But we found out later on that we found out what was going on, and basically it wasn't Kyrie. But it was a very clever ploy by some people. Sorry, you can hear my dog in the background freaking out.
Oh, yeah, you're good.
Seeing a cat or something. Seeing Kyrie and Laker close. But, you know, I think, you know, it's so cool because we do have these verifications. We do have these players going out there and playing the game. And sometimes you have players that want to be verified, have an NBA logo. So when they're running around on one of the modes that we have, which is our neighborhood, basically, you know, you have hundreds of players running around and they can interact with each other and play games with each other. And so we have like VIPs and celebrities that will have a star. You'll have NBA players, players like me that work at 2K will have a 2K logo. So people will spot you right away. And when they have that NBA logo, we actually give them their face scan, what they look like in the NBA to their My Player. So people know it's them, right? So it's kind of a cool like atmosphere to see all this interaction between NBA players and regular players. But some tell me, you know, hey, I don't want the verification because I don't want to be chased around and followed because people come at me really hard. You know, then others are like, I want everybody following me around and playing games. So it's kind of funny to see the difference in how they want to, you know, spend their time on the game and stuff. I always get a kick out of that talking to players, but it's just a really, it's a cool atmosphere. You know, it's really kind of next level when it comes to, you know, how NBA players, you know, we have tons of NFL players too that are verified that come around playing with a bunch of fans. So it's just a really cool atmosphere and something that brings everybody together.
Yeah, it's not every day that you can pull up NBA 2K and just be chilling in the park, and all of a sudden you'll see either Kyrie Irving or whoever just chilling, just, you know, just playing games, like normal human beings.
It's crazy.
It's awesome. It's awesome. So we got to talk about it. The Lakers are just, you have the whole front office thing and the whole situation there. Then you had the Ty Lue contracts breaking down, and then they ended up hiring Frank Vogel. And then not too long ago, the NBA draft lottery happened, and they ended up getting the fourth pick, which, as a Lakers fan, I did not have any confidence whatsoever that they were going to even be able to sniff a top five pick, right. But here we are. So I got to ask, from a Lakers fan aspect, what do you think that they should do with the number four pick? And if it's trade, who do you think, other than AD, if AD is not viable, because who knows if the Pelicans want to deal with the Lakers right now, who do you think they should trade for with that number four pick, and obviously more in a package?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously picking up that number four pick was a huge moment, especially with everything that's been going on, you know, for the Laker organization. So picking up that number four pick was tremendously huge for the Lakers. I think the thing they have to look at is what they can get at number four. There's a lot of talk about certain players, but they really have the ability now to make that a package for somebody. I've seen Bradley Beal come up. Bradley Beal would fit next to LeBron perfectly, but I almost feel like you have to pull that trigger after the draft. I think, you know, July 1st rolls around. You almost have to keep the pieces together and go draft, you know, the piece that you believe is going to fit with this team. The only trade that I would make personally is for Anthony Davis. And I think as much drama as there is around the Lakers, you know, do they want Zion around a player like AD where maybe he's going to not have the best interest of the Pelicans' future in his mind when he's going out there night in and night out? Would you trade, if I was the Pelicans, I would trade from the number three pick. You know, I would trade AD away to the Knicks, get some pieces back at the number three pick, and maybe go get, you know, RJ and put Barrett and Zion together for the future. You know, there's a lot of things that they could do that maybe the Lakers can't pull off. But it's been reported that, you know, their GM likes our players. Before he took the spot, he was really in love with Brandon Ingram. And I think a lot of people are sleeping on Brandon Ingram. Assuming he's healthy with his blood clot issues, he's a very valuable piece. And I feel like it's going to be bittersweet if we do make a trade for Anthony Davis, but at the same time, you're getting a 26, 27-year-old in his prime, arguably a top three player. I mean, to me, undoubtedly, but arguably a top three player in this league, and you're going to pair him with LeBron going into free agency. that's a really good, you know, problem to have in terms of filling out the roster after that. So even if they do not make the trade, they have, you know, Garland, they could get at number four. They have some options at number four where they can add an additional piece to the team. And I think that's going to be real interesting to see what happens, because I think they're definitely in a great spot to kind of have flexibility to package up a deal, not package up a deal and add to the team, or really just sign free agents and just kind of continue down the path. So, you know, as much, you know, shit as Magic and Rob Pelinka have gotten publicly, they did clear out the cap space. They did get rid of the Mozgov and Dang deals. They did clean up a lot of the issues that, you know, were there when they stepped in a very short time. And yes, they've made mistakes, and yes, there's a lot of criticism around them. But you look at where we stand, and we have LeBron James, the greatest player on the earth. He doesn't want out. You know, we have this cap space. We have the number four pick. It's not as grim as people are making it out to be, you know, and that's really important when you have those flexible options, you know, heading into free agency. So if it was me, I would definitely keep knocking on the door of Anthony Davis. That being said, I don't think whichever route they go, they're in trouble. You know, getting that fourth pick was a godsend. I was really hoping for the number one in Zion, but I will take number four.
We can't complain too much. We'll take number four. Yeah,
exactly.
Number one would have been insane. I'm gonna ask you: would you have taken Zion? Obviously, take Zion one, but would you have kept him, or would you have tried to trade that for Anthony Davis?
You know, the number one pick, I think anytime you can get a sure shot number one player in the world, which Anthony Davis could be, you have to go for it. You know, that being said, it's really kind of how you value what you're looking for. Like, Zion's going to pull in so much money to the city of New Orleans, and there's so many great storylines there that he'll be able to do for that, you know, a smaller franchise. You know, everybody talked about the Knicks getting the number one pick. It would have been cool to see him go to like New York or Chicago and one of the big cities. Cause I mean, the league is going to look how great the league's doing with New York, the Lakers and the Knicks, or the Knicks, the Bulls and the Lakers kind of being down at the bottom of the, you know, the standings. And just imagine if those cities, you know, all of a sudden turn around and now they're, you know, we have three of the major markets that are, you know, better. The league would be insane. So I think it's a good thing for the city of New Orleans. If we got the number one pick, obviously that would be a tough choice. It really determines like, what do you value? Are we building for the future? Are we going to go to win now mode? But I think with LeBron James at the level he's still playing, you almost have to go after the Anthony Davis, because if you wait another year, it's just another year off LeBron, you know, and I'm not. But you also have to think about the future. So it's a tough call. It's a really tough call. I think I would keep Zion and take my chances in free agency, because remember, it's not worth trading away the whole roster for AD if he wants to come here in the offseason. But at the same time, like we saw with the Paul George situation, sometimes you get traded to a spot and you think you don't want to be there, then you know you end up re-signing there as a player. So you just never know. I want the sure shot, like get the best players in the world and let's get this thing rolling.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. So I know we kind of touched on it a little bit with free agency, but I got to ask, what's your confidence level that the Lakers are able to get either one of Kawhi, Jimmy Butler, Kyrie? KD's probably not viable. I'm sure he's either going to go to New York and stay in Golden State. But let's say Kyrie, Kawhi, and let's say Jimmy. So of those three, which one do you think would be the most likely to be a Laker next year?
Based on reports, honestly, I think Kawhi. I still don't understand from the moment that he wanted out of San Antonio what changed to not want to come to be a Laker. You know, like we hear a lot of conflicting reports and stuff, but Kawhi is a very complex person, but it's also a very simple person. You can't really read Kawhi and what he wants and what he wants to do. So I kind of look at it like, if you're the Lakers, the first phone call is going out to Kawhi. I just read before I came on this podcast that Kobe's been talking to Kyrie, and Kobe and Kyrie are extremely close. And obviously you put Kyrie next to LeBron, and they've proven to win a championship before. So it really just comes down to what they want to do long term. I'm also okay with building up Lonzo, you know, and, and you think about Kyrie's, what he could bring to this team. I think a lot of people are also missing the point that if you did get Kyrie, he would be amazing next to Lonzo Ball. Like would open him up to be a pure scorer, which in my opinion, that's when Kyrie's at his best. Cause we saw that, you know, he struggled being like the guy, the facilitator in Boston. He had a lot of issues there. But I love Kyrie's game, and it would be amazing if you could put him in a spot where it would just open him up to be a pure scorer. So, you know, it just depends on how the Lakers view, you know, what they want to build towards. I think you have to put LeBron in the room and let him recruit now at this point. You have to. And I would love to go after the, you know, Kawhi's, the KDs, obviously, you know, make a phone call. I think he's pretty set on New York from everything that we're hearing. But you never know. I mean, is he going to want to go after a fourth championship with the team? You know, it's it just depends on what he wants to do, too. But this offseason is going to be crazy for a lot of reasons. I would go after Kawhi. I would go after Kyrie. I'm personally not a fan of bringing in Jimmy Butler. I don't think he's going to mesh well with the kids. That being said, he's an unbelievable talent. I think LeBron could really keep him mentally focused out of a lot of players. So you know, from a talent perspective, that'd be amazing to bring in a guy like that. But I don't think he should be the first choice for the Lakers.
Of course not. Yeah, I would say Kawhi is probably one. KD and Kawhi are number one and one and one A, and then Kyrie, and then probably Kemba, and then probably Jimmy would be after that, I guess. I mean, am I missing somebody? I'm not sure if I'm missing somebody. I might.
Yeah, there's a ton of players. It's just going to really depend on the market too. And you know, another thing is trading that fourth pick, right? There's a lot of options there. Do you go bring in a Bradley Beal? Contract wise, kind of puts you at a limit, but it would be a great fit next to LeBron. So they really have a lot of choices that they can go and a lot of routes they can go. I'm really hoping they put all their energy into Kyrie and Kawhi, though. I think if you brought those two particularly in, you could really make a trade for a big. You can go after Anthony Davis, and all of a sudden, you could have a team that's a top team in the West, you know, right off the starting gates. And if not, bring in players that'll accommodate the young guys. Like a Kawhi would be perfect for that, what he's doing in Toronto. I mean, Kawhi is dead tired right now, limping around, and he's playing defense on Giannis like no other player can in the NBA. Yeah. And that series is tied 2-2 as we record this. So, you know, he should be option 1A. And I really think Kyrie should be 1B and try to get those two guys in here. And Kyrie makes a lot of sense, but we'll see if he, you know, wants to go team up with KD in New York or go to the Nets. He grew up a Nets fan, so there's a lot of things there. But, you know, we'll have to see how that all plays out. It's exciting to think about for sure.
It is. It is. This June 30th cannot come soon enough. Nope. I will say that. It cannot come soon enough. Chris, thank you so much for coming on with us. Would you like to plug yourself before we head out of here?
Yeah, for sure. Follow me on Twitter at LD2K. And if you're a 2K fan, keep watching 2K TV. We're on YouTube, and also you can watch it in the game when you're playing. So lots of ways to consume that content.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Chris. Have a great day. And hope to have you on possibly again, maybe after the Lakers get Kawhi.
Yes, sir. Anytime, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yep.